In Snow White, the seven dwarfs sang, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go." In our day, many people would rewrite that as, "I-O, it's off to work I go." Hi, I'm Rob West, and today we're talking about one of the five main ways we all interact with money. Our topic is owing money and how to think about it from a biblical perspective. Later, your calls on any financial topic at 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. On most Mondays, as we start our broadcast week, we turn our attention to the foundations, the first principles of everything else we teach on this program. Now remember, there are five basic ways that all of us interact with money. First, we earn it, then we live on it, and we give some away. We can owe money, as I've already mentioned, and then we can grow money. That is, we can save it and invest it for the future. So again, earn, live, give, owe, and grow. Well, today we're focusing on owing. We can owe money back that we have borrowed, such as a mortgage, a car loan, or school loan. Credit cards could fall into this area too. Certainly, that would be the case if you carry a balance from month to month. But even if you don't have any loans or credit card debt, and congratulations to you if that's the case, there is another way we owe: taxes. That would include income and property taxes and any other type of tax where you have an amount that you have to pay by a specific deadline. Let's talk first about loans. Scripture is clear that if we borrow money, we must repay it and do so in a timely fashion. Psalm 37 has a lot of counsel related to living a godly life. It contrasts the ways of the wicked with the ways of the righteous. One of the things it says in describing the wicked is that they borrow money and don't pay it back. Now, I understand that sometimes extenuating circumstances, perhaps related to bad health or a job loss or some other problem, may prevent you from paying what you owe. But what the scripture is describing here is someone who purposely doesn't pay and not someone struggling to pay. Borrowing money involves making a promise to pay it back under the conditions outlined in the borrowing agreement. So repaying money is simply keeping a promise, and the Lord wants us to be people who keep promises. Now, some people have argued that Christians should never borrow, and they typically point to Romans 13:8, which says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." Well, I am certainly not opposed to not owing anything, but I think in context, Paul is talking here about interpersonal relationships, not about financial management. That said, the clear counsel of Scripture is that debt can be dangerous, and it is wise to avoid it as much as possible. Proverbs 22:7 notes that the borrower is the slave of the lender. That's rather striking language, and it describes something that anyone who owes money can affirm. The borrower is in a position of servitude to the lender until that debt is repaid. I'll put it another way. The lender has a claim on a portion of the money you earn. Whatever you owe the lender can't be used for anything else. You can't save it or give it away or even buy a tank of gas with it because you must serve the lender. Millions of people carrying student loans know this all too well. They struggle to get ahead because the lender is always there wanting that school loan payment, month after month, year after year. So, my counsel, based on both scripture and practical experience, it's best to avoid debt as much as possible. But if you do have debts, your moral obligation is to pay them on time. Now, let's talk briefly about owing taxes. This, too, is a moral obligation. Scripture is quite clear about this. In Romans, Paul refers to government officials as ministers of God who help maintain public order. And he says this is why we pay taxes. He writes, "Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them." Of course, you and I know that government is often inefficient and full of waste, but that doesn't absolve us from our responsibility before God to pay what we owe. To be sure, tax law can be confusing, and if you can't understand it as it applies to your situation, it may be wise to hire someone who can understand it so that you can be sure you're meeting the requirements of the law and doing so with complete honesty. Now, you can and should take advantage of tax provisions that allow you to reduce your tax liability. There's nothing wrong with taking a legitimate deduction, credit, or write-off, but never cheat on your taxes. That's not only illegal, it's also displeasing to God. So in summary, keep your debt at a minimum, pay any debt you have in a timely fashion, and when it comes to taxes, pay them without rancor and with an honest heart. We'll go to the phones next for your calls on any financial topic. Here's the number, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net. Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch. Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
If you are engaging in sexual sin, today is the day to repent. As it was corrupt in Judah, let's be honest, the same things are happening today. The pornography addiction amongst the body of Christ is through the roof. And by and large, many in the church are not discussing these things too often because many of the people who are entrusted with the responsibility to do so, they're bound themselves.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III on American Family Radio.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions on anything financial today. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, perhaps one just for you. 800-525-7000, whether it's debt where we started today or something else, saving for the future, investing, perhaps your giving plan, or how to rein in spending and balance that budget in these challenging times. Whatever it is, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. Coming up on the broadcast today, we'll continue on this conversation related to debt. I'll share several things with you. One is four questions to ask before borrowing. These questions might help you determine whether or not borrowing is the right thing for you. Keep in mind, as we said, borrowing is not a sin, but there are clear warnings throughout Scripture about the use of debt, so we need to use it sparingly and wisely. Hopefully these questions will help you make those wise decisions. Also, when not to use credit today. Some very specific things you'll want to avoid
pulling out that credit card on. How about debt management? What's my take on that? Well, we've had a lot of questions about that lately. Folks wondering, should they get a debt consolidation loan? Is debt settlement better? What is debt management? I'll weigh in on that today, plus several of your emails. And a little later in the broadcast today, Bob Dahl will stop by, our good friend, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Bob is a Wall Street veteran. You'll see him on Fox Business regularly. Bob joins us each Monday to weigh in on the markets. Bob brings a biblical perspective with seasoned counsel, and he'll give us his market commentary today. The market's already under some pressure this morning, so we'll get Bob's take on where they're headed this week. Is the slide going to continue, or perhaps could we continue some of the gains we saw last week? That's all ahead on the broadcast today. Also, your questions, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let me begin today with four questions to consider before you borrow. That's right. As you think about your borrowing decision, how do you process whether or not it makes sense to borrow in any particular situation? Well, I think these questions will help. The first is the economic return greater than the economic cost? We only want to borrow for assets that are appreciating. Now, that would mean that we would borrow for things like a home purchase. Homes should appreciate. It would mean we might borrow for a business. If we're in business ourselves, we might want to take on some credit in order to be able to extend the work that we're doing through our business. We may want to borrow for a college education, although I want to be very clear that you should be incredibly careful here. So often what we find is that folks will borrow for a college education and they'll borrow more than they should. They'll also borrow for degrees without a clear path toward a job, especially one that will allow them to repay that debt in a timely fashion. And they'll borrow without exhausting all other opportunities, scholarships and grants, work study, perhaps working during the summer, maybe going to a community college before you go off to the four-year school. Whatever it might be, I'd look for every opportunity to limit or eliminate borrowing if at all possible. But in some cases, it can make some sense if it's done in moderation. So that's question number one. Is the economic return greater than the economic cost? Secondly, are you presuming upon the future when you take out the debt? Think about what you're borrowing for. And are you really presuming upon the future as you think about moving forward? Debt mortgages the future. And so we're being presumptive when we borrow unless we have an absolute way to repay. And so we need to consider that. Thirdly, am I denying God an opportunity to provide? You know, so often when we get in a difficult or tight spot financially, rather than spreading the bills out on the table and saying, Lord, you see what's going on here. How should I approach this? I'm going to trust that you're going to provide in this situation. We just are quick to pull out the plastic. And so often we rob God of the opportunity to intervene in the situation that we find ourselves. Don't allow debt to do that and deny God an opportunity to provide in a difficult spot. And then fourth, do I have unity with my spouse? This one is absolutely essential. You know, we know that finances is one of the primary causes of conflict in marriage. My friend, Dr. Shanti Feldhahn, is a researcher on this subject and has written a book on the topic out of Harvard. And Shanti will tell you that this is one of the primary causes of conflict. 70% of married couples report conflict around money. Well, debt is often at the center of that. And so we've got to be careful to ensure that we have absolute unity with our spouse before we make any borrowing decisions. So I hope those four questions will help you as you think about considering a borrowing decision. Is the economic return greater than the economic cost? Am I presuming upon the future? Am I denying God an opportunity to provide? And do I have unity with my spouse? Consider these questions as you think about your borrowing. And keep in mind, you know, the reason that we see so much warning in Scripture around borrowing is it, in fact, changes the relationship. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. And so we realize there's a change in relationship there. And that's why we have to be so careful, especially when it comes to lending and borrowing related to family members and friends. That change in relationship can damage a relationship in a hurry. And that's why the Bible is so clear about co-signing as well. It just absolutely says, don't do it. And I think it's for this reason. So when it comes to this whole borrowing area, just be very, very careful. And let's be quick to move to a place where we're getting out of debt. You know, in these times right now where we're experiencing inflation, it's putting pressure on our family budgets. Now is a time to be dumping debt just as quick as we can, especially with interest rates heading higher. Credit card rates are going to follow suit. And so now is the time to be unloading debt and trying to shore up our financial foundation as we move forward. So I realize it's easier said than done, and yet it's something that is essential for all of us. Speaking of debt and credit card debt specifically, you know, as you think about the very best ways to pay off credit card debt, often what folks will do is they will use a consolidation loan to come in and try to get that interest rate down, take multiple debts, especially credit card debts, roll them into one, and then try to pay on that moving forward. And I advise against that. And here's why. You know, it's going to take the pressure off of you as you roll this into one consolidation loan. And that can feel good for a season. The challenge is that when you do that, you're often not going to treat the real underlying issue. You're going to treat the symptom of the problem and not the problem itself. And so I would say, let's not replace debt with new debt. Let's leave it right where it is. Let's also not try to do debt settlement where you just stop paying and allow them to get into arrears, hoping that you can come in and settle for a lesser amount. Number one, the Bible is clear. If you have the ability to pay, you should do so. And number two, that's going to trash your credit. So what does that leave? Well, there is a third option that's not debt consolidation, that's not debt settlement, and it's called debt management. And when we come back from this next break, I'll share a little bit about that. What is debt management? How does that work? How does it affect your credit score? And why is it the very best way to pay off credit card debt, especially when you have debt that's in excess of $4,000? That plus your questions. We'll go to the phones after this break as well. 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. God's wisdom for your financial decisions. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal,
daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is where we apply God's truth to your financial decisions and choices. What's on your mind today? We'd love to hear from you. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll begin today in Ohio. Jana, thank you for your call today. Go right ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm calling I just retired and I have some, a couple of little investments that I'm trying to decide whether to go with it. I already have a Fidelity investment set up and then my other one is with deferred comp, which is, they've been pulling my, income from my, teaching and putting it into that. And so that is now accumulated some. So I'm trying to decide what to do as I've retired.
Yeah, very good. Couple of questions, Jana. Number one, congratulations on your retirement. What are you most excited about this new season of life? I'm just curious.
Well, spending more time with grandkids and traveling with my husband. And
I can imagine.
Enjoying some fun.
That sounds great. Well, it sounds like you've worked hard and you've been a diligent saver, so you've accumulated some assets. I guess the first question is, tell me about just your emergency reserves in addition to these retirement assets. Do you have an emergency fund, and how many months' expenses would you say you have if you added it all up?
Well, we're debt-free, so that's good.
That's great.
So that... is a good thing, but I just would like, I think my goal would be to realize why I tucked this away is to realize a little bit of income that I know my retirement is not, you know, not going to be producing what it did. So,
sure. And what would you say you have if you were to add up all of these retirement accounts together?
Well, I already have an income that's going to be coming in from state teacher retirement. So that's just an automatic that'll be getting monthly. But this little extra is, probably I have a Fidelity account already. That's like 50,000. And then this deferred comp would be another 60,000, somewhere in there.
Okay. And so between the two, you have about 110. And if you look at your retirement budget, what it's going to take for you to fund your expenses on a monthly basis, if you subtract out what you're going to be receiving as your teacher's retirement, plus Social Security, and let me ask specifically about that. Have you started collecting? Okay.
I don't get that because of state teacher retirement.
Because of the teacher's retirement. Okay, very good. So how much would you need to pull from either the Fidelity or the deferred comp in order to cover your expenses, any gap that exists after the teacher's retirement?
Yeah, I'd kind of like to see maybe, I don't know, 800 a month. And I was thinking, well, maybe I should invest in possibly even a real estate investment that would be, my husband flips houses. So it's an easy thing for us to possibly do a rental.
Yes. Yeah. The challenge is this is tax deferred money. And so if we were to take it out, it would all be taxable. There is a way for you to actually consolidate this into an IRA. So you could roll the deferred comp and the Fidelity. Is that a 401k or what type of account is that at Fidelity?
It's just an investment account. I'm not really
okay,
sure.
Okay, so it's a taxable account?
I haven't done anything with it or anything.
Okay.
So
it's not a part of a retirement plan of any kind?
Not that I know of.
Okay. All right, no problem. So with the deferred comp, you could roll that into what's called a self-directed IRA if you wanted to invest that into real estate. If not, you could roll it into just a traditional IRA. It would not create a taxable event, and then you could begin to pull from it. Obviously, the Fidelity account, if that's a taxable account, not a part of an IRA or a previous retirement plan with a former employer, which doesn't sound like it is because of your teacher's retirement, then that obviously could be liquidated and invested in real estate yourself. So that would give you the option, if your husband has some expertise in this area, to put that money to work. You all could generate some income as long as you're willing to put in the time and effort to keep that up. The only concern I have is just if we were to combine these two at $110,000, we would typically want to keep the withdrawal rate to 4% or less, which would be about $350 a month, not $800. And so if you could certainly take $800 a month, but that's going to push you up in terms of, you know, what you're pulling out every month. And it's going to be more than what I would expect to be sustainable in retirement, which means that account balance is going to be declining over time, as opposed to trying to keep the principal intact and just live off the income. So I think that's just one consideration to look at is, how much do we want to pull from that? And can we keep it at a withdrawal rate that would allow us to maximize that account into the future? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so really, like 350 would be what you would recommend if I consolidated that.
That is what I would recommend. Now, you wouldn't be able to put them together. If the Fidelity account is not a retirement account, you'd want to keep them separate. I'd roll the deferred comp to an IRA, and then you'd have the Fidelity account plus the new IRA, which would be the proceeds of the deferred comp. And then I would invest that with a conservative portfolio. If you're trying to protect the asset and generate income, typically you'd have somewhere between 60 and 70% in fixed income type investments, bonds and CDs, things like that. Maybe some preferred stocks, and then maybe 30 to 40% in more stable type dividend producing stocks. So if you don't have an advisor, I would recommend you have somebody who's helping you build out that portfolio with a focus on protecting what you have, generating some income. But it sounds like you've got several great options. Your husband's obviously continuing to work and has expertise there. You've built up this nest egg, which can be converted to cash. So I would get it invested, and I would try to focus on not pulling out more than $350 a month if you can do it. And if you have other questions along the way, Jana, give us a call back. But we appreciate you checking in with us, and I'm excited for all that God has for you in this next season. Thank you for your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Lori and Barney, we're coming your way, plus a couple of additional lines open, perhaps one just for you. Give us a call. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/target. afa.net/target.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Absolutely free.
We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Let's head right back to the phones. By the way, a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000, whatever's on your mind financially, give us a call. Lori is our next caller today. Lori, thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Hey, I'm 75. I have a small pension of $30,000 before taxes. I work full-time as a teacher. I get about $40,000 before taxes with that. I have $50,000 in savings, $13,000 in an emergency fund. I bought a house because my rent was more than the house payment.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if I should take that $50,000 and do, it's just sitting there. You know, should I put it on the house? But the interest rates are so high. If I refinance, you know, I'll take a killing that way. Do you have any suggestions? I'm not sure how long I'll work. Thank you, Jesus. I'm healthy.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, But do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. So a couple of questions I would have for you. What is the mortgage on the house?
$200,000. My payment is $996.
Okay. And what is your current interest rate?
4%, because I signed just as they were switching to the higher rates.
Okay. So it's very new, this mortgage.
Yeah.
All right. Is it 30-year?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you plan on staying in this house for a long time?
That's my goal. Yeah. You know, this would be it.
Okay. So. Yeah. And you're collecting Social Security as well?
Well, it's a teacher pension, so they take two-thirds of it, so I get enough to pay my Medicare.
Okay. Very good. Know. Yeah. And if you were to stop working, Lori, would you have enough with the teacher's pension plus the what you get to cover your Medicare, to cover your bills with the mortgage payment, or would you be short every month?
No, I can cover it. I'm pretty frugal.
Yeah.
And I have no debt other than the mortgage.
Okay. Very good. And last question, what would you say your total monthly expenses are?
Probably with the mortgage and food and everything, probably around $2,000.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. You know, I don't like the idea of you taking the $50,000 and dropping it against the house. And here's why. You know, you're not going to realize any benefit in terms of taking pressure off your monthly spending plan unless you were to refinance, as you said. And right now, with rates north of 6%, that's just not going to be productive. The expense associated with that, I mean, even in, if you were to refinance $150,000 after you drop $50,000 against the $200,000 that you owe today, you know, you could find yourself with 4,000 or 4% in expenses, which is $6,000 right off the top. Not to mention you're going to have a higher interest rate by at least a couple of points. And so even with that lower mortgage amount, the expenses plus the higher interest rate, you may be fairly close to where you are today. And so you really didn't gain anything. And really your only liquid assets besides the $13,000 would be gone. And so if you had something unexpected kind of come out of left field here, you'd have much less to fall back on. So I kind of like the idea of you hanging on to the $50,000. Obviously, this mortgage, if you decide to stay in this home, through your retirement, is going to be with us for the long haul. So I think we just need to continue to live frugally and build this into your plan, unless at some point you decided to sell it and downsize down the road. Obviously, this is a great time while the Lord has given you the health and the energy to continue working to try to bank as much of that as you can and perhaps even accelerate the mortgage payoff through current cash flow. But dropping that whole $50,000, bringing your liquid reserves down all the way to $13,000, when we're not going to save any money on a monthly basis, I don't think makes some sense. So I like accelerating the mortgage payoff, especially right now while you're continuing to work. But I don't think just, putting this lump sum on makes a lot of sense. Does that make sense?
It does. What about the credit union is offering a 2.3% 18-month CD? Should I put part of that in there or just keep it where it's accessible to me?
Yeah. You certainly could. Have you heard me talking about I bonds, inflation bonds?
Not really.
Okay. So the I bonds are issued by the U.S. government, U.S. Treasury, actually. And right now they're paying 9.62%. Now you can only put in up to 10,000 and you've got to leave it there for a year, but it's backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. And obviously that's a phenomenal rate of return. Now it adjusts every 6 months. It just adjusted in May to the 9.62 where it is now, because part of the rate is pegged to CPI, the Consumer Price Index, and that's obviously very high right now. It'll adjust again in November. It'll likely come down, but probably not much. So you're still going to be able to enjoy a great rate, I think, over this next year. So I would do that with a portion of it. I would also be looking at some of the internet banks like Ally Bank, Marcus, Capital One 360. They're approaching 1% annual with high yield savings, no fees, and the money is completely liquid. So between the I bonds, a high yield savings, and then maybe a portion of it in a 2-year CD where you can get that rate up a little bit more, that probably makes some sense just so you can get a little bit of yield on this. Okay.
Where do you get the I bonds?
So great question. TreasuryDirect.gov is the Treasury's website, TreasuryDirect.gov. You'd open an account there at Treasury Direct, and then you would transfer the money in through an ACH transfer.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, Lori, God bless you. Thanks for your call today. To Oklahoma we go. Barney, thanks for your call. By the way, 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open. Barney, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I want to run something by here and see what you think about this. I'm 59 and a half. I figure I'm going to live 30 more years.
Okay.
360 months. So if I take that, the money, I've got about $590,000, $1,511 a month. Now, if I can get 3.3% on a CD, which right now I can get 3.2% at my credit union, that would be the same amount as withdrawing $1,511 every month, so I could like have my cake and eat it too. What would be the downsides of that? I mean, I can get a 10-year CD. I've got one for 3.3 that matures in 2 years, so hopefully rates will be at 3.3 in 2 years. What's your take on that?
I think that's certainly a plausible plan. I mean, you're planning through age 99. You said correct, or no? You said 30 years, so okay. Age
89.
89, yeah. And so you're pulling out, I think, a reasonable amount. I guess the only question would be, whether that's enough money for you on a monthly basis. So have you run your budget? And if you pulled that amount out, would that pretty much cover your gap between Social Security and whatever else you have coming in?
Yeah, my expenses are about $1,200 a month. And so okay. I haven't started Social Security yet.
Oh, right. Yeah, work. You're 59.
Yeah. So,
yeah, so you certainly could do that. I mean, I think the key is when we're investing, we want to take as little risk as possible to meet the objective, and that would be essentially taking no risk. You may want to put that in two different banks so you'd take advantage of, or three at the most, because up to $250,000, you have FDIC insurance per account title, per institution. So if you had multiple banks going, that would be one thing. The only other option would be to try to get a little more yield by taking a little more risk with maybe 20 or 30% of it, so you could actually grow it over time. But if you're comfortable with that amount, that would certainly make sense to me. Hold the line and we'll be right back.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
I've got a book I've been working on for some years now. It's called Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I think it really is an important response to the critical race theory nonsense and all of this racial demagoguery that has risen up like a cult.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at moneywise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, it's Monday, which means we take the opportunity to hear from our good friend Bob Dahl. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. And each Monday, Bob weighs in with his market analysis. Bob, great to have you with us today. It's been a couple of weeks.
Happy Monday, Rob.
Hey, what's on your mind today as you're checking out the markets, seeing some continued pressure here? What are you watching this week, Bob?
Yeah, I think the market is has shifted from concerns about PE ratios, that is valuations coming down, and now the concern is earnings. We're going to soon get second quarter earnings reports, and there is concern they might not be quite up to expectations. I'm in that camp as well. And, of course, inflation is still on people's minds and concern lists, and that's why we're stumbling a bit this week after a pretty good week last week.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, the market was oversold, and we saw a little bit of positive momentum last week throughout the week. It came after the end of the quarter, so our statements might be a bit of a shock, huh, when they come out?
Yes. After the down first quarter and the worst down second quarter, I think people will say, oh my goodness, what happened?
Bob, what about recession talk? What is your take on the current state of things?
Well, if we have one, I wouldn't be surprised, but if we didn't have one, I wouldn't be surprised either. I'm still of the view, because of reasonable health of the U.S. consumer, health in the corporate sector, and as we saw last Friday, a good jobs market, I don't think we're in a recession and probably won't be anytime soon.
Yeah.
Weakness, for sure, but recession, I think we'll avoid one for now.
Yeah. Bob, you mentioned the labor market. It continues to hold up quite well, huh?
sure does. As we both insinuated last Friday, we got, I guess it was Thursday, the employment report for the prior month, and the number of jobs added was nicely ahead of expectations yet again. I repeat, we've never gone into a recession while the labor market has been strong. There's still a lot of people wanting to work.
Yes. What about global growth, Bob, as you look around the world?
Downshifting for sure. Like the U.S., obviously the extra problem in Europe is the Russia-Ukraine war and the big rise in energy prices. Not that we haven't seen that too. And China is the other wild card. With COVID, they went through another lockdown period. Some of that is coming off, but the damage has been done. So slowdown there will affect China in particular, the emerging markets, and the whole globe. So a slowing economy and that recession or not debate will continue.
Yeah. Bob, for those folks listening today who are in retirement, they've got a considerable allocation to bonds. What would you tell them related to the bond market today?
Well, first of all, condolences. It's been a tough 6 months. We know that. Look, I think for the moment, the bond market has done its damage to portfolios. I think we're in a period here where I wouldn't panic and run for the hills. But on big rallies, if you can afford to lighten up your bond position, I don't think we've seen the high in yields, therefore the low in bond prices for this cycle. Recession may come down here in the third quarter, but it's not going back to 2%.
Yeah. All right. Very good. And then lastly, Bob, policy considerations. Obviously, the Biden administration under a considerable pressure given what's going on in the economy, also energy. What do you expect to see there?
Answer, a lot of talk, but not much action. There's a chance we get a BBS, Build Back Smaller plan of, quote, only $1 trillion, but I think that's less than 50%. And once we get past, frankly, the end of August, Congress will be heading home to campaign for the November election. So this term, the Biden administration's running out, and then if the Republicans take the House and maybe the Senate in November, even a higher threshold to get anything significant done. So I wouldn't expect a whole lot of policy out of D.C.
All right. Bob, as always, we appreciate you stopping by, my friend. Let me give you a chance just to leave us and recenter us on where our trust needs to ultimately lie when we think about all the things we've been entrusted.
Yes, God has given us everything we are and everything we have. That includes our portfolios, not to mention our bodies and our minds and our time and all that. But the money is not ours. It's God's. So we are stewards and have to be very careful. It really was our money. Who cares what we do with it? But because it's God's, we have an incredible responsibility and opportunity to take care of it for Him.
Well said. Bob, thanks so much for stopping by. We'll talk to you next week.
God bless. Bye.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Bob joins us each Monday on the broadcast to bring us his analysis and insights. You can check him out at crossmarkglobal.com, where you can sign up for his Dahl's deliberations. I count on Bob's analysis each week, and you can have that delivered to your inbox. Again, crossmarkglobal.com. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you. We've got some lines open. Again, 800-525-7000. You know, I mentioned a little earlier in the broadcast, we started out today by talking about debt. How does it fit into our financial lives? What does the Bible say about it? And how do we go about getting out from under the debt that we have? Well, we had an email that came in along those lines. In fact, this one comes from Ron, and he says, if I have enough money to pay off my house, should I? He goes on to say, what if there's a flood or some natural disaster? It sounds risky. And what I would say, Ron, to you is, number one, I love the idea of you paying off your house just as soon as you can and being completely debt-free. Being unencumbered, having that flexibility is a very good thing. I've never had, in all the years I've been doing this, anyone call and say, you know what, Rob, I paid off my house and I've just regretted it ever since. I just don't get that call. And so I'd encourage you to do it. At the very least, you get the guaranteed return equivalent to the interest rate that you were paying. But as to the second part of your question, Ron, I would say, you know, insurance coverage isn't linked to a mortgage, so you can and should continue your homeowner's coverage after you pay off the loan to ensure you offset that risk that exists there. The only caution I would give you is making sure that you don't use all available cash. Make sure you have ample reserves. And for most folks, in order to ensure they have the proper reserves, they try to target paying off their mortgage by the time they retire. And so if you can get an amortization schedule that says, how much do I need to send each month, even perhaps some beyond the scheduled mortgage payment, so that I ensure when I get to that retirement date, that mortgage is gone. That would be one way to go where you don't deplete all of your cash. But if you find yourself in a position where you have ample reserves, you're on track for saving for the future, taking advantage of tax-deferred compounding in your retirement accounts, and you have enough left over to wipe out that mortgage, well, you go for it. Another email from Seth. What is your stance on bankruptcy? My wife and I are considering it as a last-ditch effort. We're not trying to cheat anybody. We just don't have enough to pay our bills. And Seth, I would concur. Bankruptcy should always be a last resort because of the devastating effect it has on your credit score. But more importantly, we made a commitment to repay. And so we want to honor our obligations. But I would agree with you. Sometimes it's inevitable, especially with a business. Your creditors may force you into bankruptcy. That said, once you're able, I would try to pay back your creditors. You may find it actually challenging to do so once they write everything off, but I could tell you multiple testimonies of folks that went back and, as a testimony to their commitment to Christ, actually found a way to pay back all of their creditors. Proverbs 3:27 teaches, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. So try to get those paid back in full. And Seth, we appreciate your email today very much. Also, quickly, I mentioned that I would share about debt management, which can be a very effective tool for those of you who find yourself in credit card debt. If you have more than $4,000 in debt, using a debt management program is very effective. And here's why. Number one, it'll go into a monthly payment that'll fit into your budget. Number two, you're going to get the interest rates reduced. And when you do that, you will have the ability, through those lower interest rates and the fixed monthly payment, to be able to pay off the debt on average 80% faster. Also, you will recognize that it doesn't affect your credit score. It's not a part of the credit scoring algorithm. Now, with that said, it could be noted on your account if you are in a debt management program. You could see that listed there, and a lender could choose to use that against you if he or she wanted to, but it is not a part of the credit scoring algorithm. I also like the accountability, and that's why we use our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org, because when you have somebody who's kind of helping you navigate this, is there to help you put the budget together, build this right into it, and to be able to facilitate that monthly payment, my experience is it will just make it a lot more efficient, and you have a greater likelihood that you'll stick with it. So if you find yourself in that position, especially now when things are so tight, I would take the opportunity to reach out and at least check out whether debt management might be the right solution for you. You can find our friends at Christian Credit Counselors on the web at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. All right, we've covered a lot of ground today. Appreciate all your calls, being a part of the program, all the things we've been able to cover as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. I'll be back to do it all again tomorrow, so I hope you'll plan to join us right here. Let me say thank you to my team today. Handling our phones today was Pat Montague, handling our engineering and production today, Mr. Devrin Patrick. Also, Jim Henry providing me with some great research as well. MoneyWise is a partnership between MoneyWise Media and the American Family Radio. And so we're so thankful to be a part of this incredible broadcast network, to be able to join you each day right here to be able to mine the scriptures and apply God's truth to your financial decisions and choices. Hope you have a great day. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.